Well, it is just really a blessing to be able to not have to preach this morning. I love to preach. I really do. I love the Word of God. You know that. And I love all of you. And I love my Savior. And I love to be able to tell people about Him. But I go pretty hard. I work a lot. And it's hard for me to take a break. One of the reasons is because, as you know, I am pretty picky about who we allow to come stand behind this pulpit and preach. It's something I take really, really seriously. And so it's just such a blessing to be able to do ministry with my dad. And when I think about just what I want to be as a husband and what I want to be as a father and what I want to be just as a man of God, I think about my dad. And it's one of just the greatest privileges of my life is to be able to be in ministry with him and do this with him. And so I just have not lost even one second of sleep worrying about what he's going to say up here. Well, not theologically anyway. And so it is really just a great privilege for me just to have my dad do this so that I could take some time off. So thank you, Dad, for doing this. I'm excited about what God has to say to me. And so with that, Deacon Don Tucker.
Vacation? Boy, was it just me or did you all wonder too if he's ever going to let me up here? Oh, goodness. He always did like to talk, Fortunately, he's got a son that does the same thing. He's talking all the time. Anyway, I had the same anxiety the same times he did. Just a different reaction. I was going, Thursday, I'm not ready. But I went to study. Friday, I'm not ready. And I went to study. Anyway, I shared with Sunday school that I hope they're not too bright-eyed after that extra hour last night. And I don't know if you got an extra hour of sleep. I did not. And I usually wouldn't anyway, but I did get an extra hour of preparation. And praise God, I needed every minute of it. I was scrambling around, but anyway, God is good. I thought that was a great weekend to have me preach, to give me an extra hour to get up and prepare for that. So anyway, I hope he will still think as much of me after the message today. But Pastor Josh thought his series was over. He announced that the And Then Jesus series. But I really liked the premise of it and meeting ordinary people or people in the Bible. And I liked the format. And frankly, it made it a little bit easier as a starting point from which to build on. So I stole it. Thank you for bearing with me to extend it one more week and give it one more person. Pastor Josh bears his soul to us every Sunday. Amen. He reveals a lot about himself. So I thought I'd help with that as well and tell a few stories about him. And hopefully we'll have a little fun this morning, but I do pray that we'll also learn something for our own lives as well. So the title of the message this morning is The Strength to Endure. The Strength to Endure. It's the story of Joshua, the man, the biblical man, the pastor, and then Jesus. And our text there from Joshua 1, 1 through 9, you might keep a finger in that. We'll come back to that later in the message. As you might surmise from the title, I'm intending to look into the life of the biblical Joshua this morning, but also to draw some parallels to our own Joshua. I hope to challenge and encourage him as well as all of us by doing so. So we will do the first letter as an introduction, and then we'll pray. So let's look at number one. I guess I got to do this too. Meet Joshua. Meet Joshua. Joshua's story unfolds over four books in the Old Testament. Of the first six books, we get to know him through four of them. So we'll be skipping around that. It is the sixth book of the Bible that is actually named after him, the first book that is so named after an individual, the book of Joshua. Joshua is best known as Moses' second in command. He's the one that takes over and leads the Israelites into the promised land after Moses' death. We see in Numbers 13:8, Moses, when naming one representative from each tribe of Israel to go spy in the promised land, he named from the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. And that's our first blank, is letter A, is a son. A son. Wait a minute, I thought this was about Joshua, you ask. Well, we learn that after becoming famous for, or as he became famous, one of the two spies that brought back a good report in the land, Caleb being the other, that Joshua, or Oshea, was renamed by Moses. And we learn that Joshua was first named Oshea, that he was the son of Nun. Oshea is a Hebrew name derived from another Hebrew name, Yeshua. Yeshua, which is itself, is derived from the Hebrew words Yahweh. Now, many of you might be familiar with the term Yahweh, which means God. And Shah, which means to deliver. So Moses renamed him, but basically it was just a new spelling. Hebrews 13:6, there in your bulletin. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And then that was later shortened even a little bit more to just Joshua. Now we shorten the name even further to just Josh. Okay? And to help alleviate any confusion of who I'm talking about in this message, I will endeavor, when I say Joshua, to be referring to the biblical Joshua. And so out of no disrespect, when I'm talking about our pastor, I'll say Josh. Okay, so if you get confused who I'm talking about, you'll know it's Josh. But I think there are some uncanny parallels that we can draw and things we can learn from here. And so I appreciate you putting me up with that. With that, Oshea, or Jehoshua, Joshua, all three have the same meaning. All three are derived from the same root words. The name Jesus is also derived from that Hebrew root, the name of Yeshua, as we see that Joshua is indeed a precursor of the one who delivers or who saves. So we have an early example in Joshua of Jesus, the true Yahweh, that came to save and deliver all. Jesus came so all could be delivered. In our book today, Joshua was here to save the nation of Israel. Joshua was born in Egypt prior to the Exodus. Joshua's father, Nun, was a direct descendant of Ephraim, one of the sons of Joseph. It was like eight generations later. And of the 12 tribes of Israel, Ephraim was one of the 12. And it was through that line that the nation of Israel was to be blessed. As we will see, Joshua definitely had a hand in the blessing of the nation Israel. So, from Joshua, the son of Nun, we come to our pastor, Josh, son of Don. Already you got a similarity there. I'm glad it's Don instead of Nun. That's kind of, you know. And actually, anymore nowadays, it's kind of flip-flop. You know, it's kind of like, this is Don, Joshua's father. You know, not Joshua's son. You get recognized by the more famous person, I think. So, and as you can understand, and I have to admit, I am a bit prejudiced. I've shared before, I can totally relate to Matthew 17:5, when God himself says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And I'm just so thankful to be able to say that, encourage you to listen to Pastor Josh. So, I think we can all here today agree that our Pastor Josh has had a hand in blessing Spokane Baptist Church. Amen? Oh, good. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful to be in your house this morning and to look into your word. And Lord, the the story of Joshua and what a great leader he had become and the things he did for your nation, just as we are thankful for our pastor, Josh, Lord, and just his leadership here and his willingness to serve you. So, Lord, I pray you'd bless our time. Help me to get totally out of the way, just the father of Josh, Lord, that you would just help see beyond all those relationships and that you would just develop and build our relationship with you through what you have for us this morning. So bless our time together, I ask in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. So Joshua, considered one of the Bible's greatest military leaders, and for leading the 7-year conquest of the Promised Land. It took him 7 years after he got in to take it all over. He is often held up as a model for leadership and a source of practical application of how to be an effective leader. He is without question one of the greatest generals in human history. There wasn't another really like him until David. That was over 400 years later than the time of Joshua. But it would be a mistake to credit his and Israel's victories solely to Joshua's skill as a military general. It was also helpful that he was, letter B, a great spirit-filled leader. He was a great spirit-filled leader. Let's take a look. The very first time we meet Joshua is in Exodus 17. The Israelites, on their journey to the Promised Land, first ran out of water in the wilderness of sin. And God then asked Moses to smite the rock with his staff. So if you remember the story, they're traveling through the wilderness and you know, they're whining and complaining, and all of a sudden they run out of water. So what do? They whine and complain even more. And you know, Moses says, Lord, what am I going to do with these people? And he smite the rock, and we'll give them water. And sure enough, water flowed out of that rock, and they were all able to drink of that water. Another mighty sign that Moses did. Well, right after they got the water, the Amalekites attack. Here comes an invading force trying to stop the other invaders. And we first hear of Joshua and Moses' response to that attack. Exodus 17:9, there, I think, in your bulletin. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And we're probably familiar with this story of the battle as well. When Moses raised his hands, the Israelites prevailed. When they got tired and dropped, the Amalekites started prevailing. And so there's this ongoing battle as Moses got tired. So they eventually propped his hands up. And as we remember the story, they did that. And then Joshua and the army was able to prevail and won the great victory. In other words, Joshua and the army needed God's help, the Spirit of God to aid and to ensure that victory. God supplied the support through Moses. No doubt, he did it that way to help build the confidence in their leaders. As the people saw that in Moses' hands, they gave him credit and were able to have more confidence of the people then going forward, as if they shouldn't have had enough already. But again, they were whining and complaining. The Amalekites are attacking. They needed another sign from God's help of Moses to win that victory that day. Then later, as Moses was aging, people were wanting to know who would take care and be the judge over them. After all, especially if he should die, what are they going to do? And you think about it, after all, most of them had been losing their fathers and parents as they wandered through the desert, you know, and we learned that none of the original adults, because they'd all done foolish things, were able to enter the Promised Land. So they're dropping off, amen, sometimes at a big group at a time. And so, of course, they were naturally wondered about their aging leader, Moses. Well, what if you die? Who's going to take care of us? And everybody wants to kind of know that. Who's going to take care of us next? You know, what are we going to do? Well, all except of that older generation, except Joshua and Caleb, entered the Promised Land. So Moses named his successor in front of the whole assembly in response to their question. in the bulletin there, Numbers 27, verse 18, and then again 22 through 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Then even later still, we see in Deuteronomy 34:7 that Moses died at the ripe old age of 120. It says his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Yet Joshua became the leader, Deuteronomy 34:9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Well, our pastor as well had great talents and attributes. Even growing up, we could see that. He was always been a great public speaker. He won a bunch of speech meets and stuff when he was young, as you can imagine. But he also had a heart for God, even from an early age. He once told my boss in a restaurant after he was smoking that he was going to go to hell for smoking. He didn't learn that from us. We kind of went to a church at that time that was maybe a little legalistic, and, you know, they took some quick correction, and, you know, fortunately I kept my job, Anyway, but he just had that heart of doing right and a heart for God. And he also had a great mentor in Pastor Tom Asbury. Tom trained him in the finer aspects of pastoring, including counseling, preaching, and in leadership. But it was and is the Holy Spirit's guidance that brought him to the point where Pastor Tom and other men of God would lay hands on him in front of the whole congregation and ordain him, and naming him the successor to eventually become Spokane Baptist Church's pastor. Little did we know how soon that was going to happen. As Tom, although he wasn't 120, he was seemingly in good health. He was not dim of vision. He had natural abilities. And just one of those things that it was very unexpected at his age. In fact, Tom's great vision for Spokane Baptist was to move on to Anchorage and build the church. And we went through several moves working towards that. Unfortunately, much like Moses, he didn't get to see his vision come to fruition. Our own little Spokane Baptist promised land out here in Ortis Orchards. But being around and seeing all the circumstances at that time, you could see God's hand and his timing, even in such dire and such sad circumstances. Fortunately, our pastor Josh was ready and prepared to lead. Just being a successful general was not Joshua's only trait. The Bible tells us, even early in his service to Moses, he was also a minister. Letter C is a minister. In Exodus chapter 24, in verse 12, God had just called Moses up to the mount. So he would give Moses, quote, the tablets of stone, a law and commandments which I have written. Then, and Moses responds, as in your bulletin, with Exodus 24:13. And Moses rose up, and his minister, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. We actually learned that several went halfway with him. It talks about Aaron and 70 elders along with Joshua going with Moses at least halfway up the mountain. But we also know that Aaron and most, if not all, except one, went back down and sinned with the rest of the people. The story of the golden calf and the celebrations and them kind of getting away while Moses was gone. Moses was up on the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So the people kind of turned into other activities without his leadership, and it got away from them. But the Bible tells us that Joshua waited there for Moses to come down. You say, well, I haven't seen that. How do you know that? Well, let's look closer at chapter 32. As Moses is returning to camp, where he'll find the golden calf and all the evil that the people were doing, Exodus 32:17 says, "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp." So obviously Joshua was accompanying Moses, you know, and he was able to say this to Moses. He's coming down and hears all the commotion going on. And in error, he thought it sounded like a battle going on. You know, he's a general, he's probably ready to go fight. But he had to be next to Moses as he heard that and let Moses know, hey, Moses, you hear that? It sounds like war going on. So he thought, he was mistakenly thinking it was a battle raging, not a raucous celebration that the people were having. So as Joshua was with and ministering to Moses at that time, the nice thing is, that means he was not having any part of the sin that was going on. God protected him from all that by having him be faithful to Moses and being a minister to Moses. He was able to be by his side and accompany him then down. Yes, Joshua was a minister. As we see again later in Joshua 8, verses 34 and 35, it says this, "And afterward he," referring to Joshua, "read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, and with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them." Again, our pastor Josh displays many of the same traits as our biblical Joshua, his namesake. He ministers to the people of Spokane Baptist Church, faithfully sharing the whole word of God with us, the congregation. He never cuts anyone short that wants to talk with him, and he welcomes as many people as he can get to. I've been very impressed, always has an eye out to try to minister to the people of Spokane Baptist, and we appreciate that. Jesus was also, letter D, a servant. A servant. In chapter 33 of Exodus, we get some more insight into Joshua. Moses had just completed the building of the tabernacle. In verse 11, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Isn't that interesting? Moses finished the great work and meets with God in there, goes out to the camp. Who stayed back in the tabernacle? His servant, Joshua. We often see how biblical leaders change families as they grow in their service to God. If not directly change families, they might change their allegiances. We talked about this a little last week in our Sunday school, but they're step by step, they're called to a little higher service. Samuel went from his mother Hannah to the prophet Eli, and then eventually went directly to God and worked with God. David went from the family of Jesse to the family of Saul, and then eventually to God directly. In other words, each step of their development, they went a little bit further. There are many others like that in the Bible. Joshua went from Nun, then to Moses, and then to God directly. Like our pastor, from Don to Tom to God directly. I remember when Josh first became my pastor, and it's not a pleasant story for me, but it's true. I've never really shared this with Josh, I don't think. But we were remodeling a different building a time ago, most of you probably kind of figured I give a lot to the church and also have some ideas about stuff and want to do things. And we got into a little discussion about a certain wall. I wanted it one way. The pastor wanted it another way. And I, of course, my way was cheaper. Sorry, I just, you know, as treasurer, I'm always trying to protect the money. But just politely, very respectfully, kind of close the discussion with, well, Dad, I hope you're happier in the next church that you go to. Whoa! Well, that did a few things for me. Number one, obviously put me in my place, but it helped me see him in a different light. He had a vision for the church and the direction he wanted to go that God had given him, and who was I to mess with it? Amen? And it just really helped, and it made me very proud to see that he was willing to stand up and lose a contributor and a dad if it meant going against what God had showed him. Fortunately, my anger didn't last too long, and God showed me he was absolutely right, and that he was indeed now my pastor, not just a son or somebody that, you know, I had too much influence with. And that should be a good message for you, too, that, you know, he's going to do what God is leading him to do and not worry about the influences that his dad or mother or any other person here might have or try to exert over him. I find great safety in knowing that. And I just thought that was an important story for you all to hear, that he's a man of God that has a vision for the church and wants to do certain things with it. And yeah, we might disagree. We might have different ideas. We talked this morning in Sunday school about getting wise counsel. He's great at all that, but he is the decision maker. And what God gives him to do, we need to, God says, render respect to the authority placed over us. And so my son all of a sudden became my pastor, a little bit different situation, but one that I've come to just really enjoy and be more than comfortable with. So, later in Numbers, Joshua again is named as a servant to Moses. This time it is in context of the only record of Joshua doing something wrong, and Moses had to gently rebuke him. Pretty amazing when as much is written about some, and we talk about, we know the Bible's true because it exposes everybody false. This is the only instance where we see maybe a little something wrong in Joshua of the Bible. There in bulletin, Numbers is verse 28, but I'm going to back up a little bit to the beginning of the story. Numbers 11, starting in verse 26. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the other, Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. They prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, and one of his young men answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. Don't let these guys do that. But Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. So, in other words, Moses didn't mind that people proclaiming the word of God other than himself, you know? And that's a good look into Moses as well. And, you know, even though he was reprimanded, we'd say, well, at least it was only because he was being overprotective of Moses and of the people. But he did have to be reprimanded a little bit. He apparently learned his lesson well as he went on to be such a tremendous leader of his people. Well, our pastor, too, has made some mistakes. Many more than one, I can tell you. I can guarantee you that. I got to tell one story. He's going to hate me. It's probably second or third grade, and we got a call from his teacher, and apparently they had some group activity where they sat in a circle on the floor, right? And fortunately, that's over 25 years ago. Today, he might be in jail. I don't know. But apparently, He was lifting the girl's skirt next to him. Now, we didn't have the internet and all that stuff, so he didn't know what he was looking for, I can guarantee you that. But, you know, even then, it was kind of a serious offense, you know. He did it because he liked attention, he liked to hear the girl scream, you know, get a reaction, whatever. But we did not condone such behavior, obviously, so I did a little trick I'd learned from my dad on, and just to kind of show him what could happen. So I took him from the shirt, lifted him up against the wall, eyeball to eyeball, and said, you know, this can put you in the hospital. And, you know, he's going, don't you ever do that again. And to my knowledge, to this day, he has learned from that. He has never done it again. Amen? Amen. That's true. Sometimes you need to make an impression, but praise God if they learn from the lesson. So, he too learns with each mistake, especially as he displays a servant's heart. He's so gracious in serving the people of Spokane Baptist, greeting and talking to people after the service. I don't think he's ever got to sit down to lunch, but he never complains about it. You know, that's what he feels and wants to do, what he's called to do. His heart is to minister and to serve the people of God, and for God's sake and for God's glory. We thank him for that. So, let's return back now to our scripture that Bill so graciously read and did a good job at the start of the message in Joshua chapter 1. If you're at that spot in your Bible, I'll give you a second to turn. So number two is, and then Jesus. And then Jesus. We learned that Joshua was spirit-filled, but we see now when Jesus received the call. He got a call on his life. So letter A, then God called. God called. Joshua 1:1-2, we'll back up to the start of the chapter, says this. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, I don't know if it was audible or not, or if it was just in his spirit, since he was spirit-filled, but Jesus called to him, or the Lord, God, called to him directly. He spoke to him. So, God was now calling or speaking to Joshua directly, not through his servant Moses. He had just gone up a step in his ministry. Joshua was ready to lead. Pastor Josh has shared, even though he always had a heart for God, that he was intending to pursue a business career. You know, after the school incident, not because of it, we started homeschooling him. He caught on very quickly, learned very quickly. He actually went off to college at 16. He graduated with a business degree at the age 20 and had his master's in business administration at the age of 22. In fact, he was kind of on a fast track to a very business successful thing. Through a friend of a friend in Seattle, I was able to arrange kind of for a lunch for him with Boeing's chief financial officer. And the report came back after lunch via my friend that the financial officer had told the friend, he said, that young man is going to be running Boeing someday. I mean, obviously bright and able to do, anyway, he just had a lot of great talents and abilities. And even at my office, and we did quite a bit, the CEO that he had offended years and years before wanted to train him when he heard he got his MBA at 22. He wanted to train him to take over his position as CEO at my company. But right about that time, he was doing more and more with Pastor Tom in the church. and praise God. And I really mean that. Even at the time, I didn't want him to get caught up in that kind of thing, seeing the how it was, you know, it was a pretty time-engrossing enterprise. He decided to not do that, and instead, he purchased Pastor Tom's lighting business and was doing that as part-time, like Tom had done, in order to support the ministry and to be able to make a living. So, like as he put it sometime, more to support the lighting business than to make money from the lighting business. It wasn't, you know, it was a good business, but not a real lucrative one. So, then, while on a trip to Lancaster Baptist Church in California, as you probably heard his story, God clearly called him into the ministry full time. And we are so thankful that he got that call. Amen. Amen. Well, we too are called, maybe not to full-time ministry, but we are called to be Christians. Just look in the New Testament, listed there in your bulletin, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's quite a call we have, ladies and gentlemen, kids, people. We're called to be Christians. We too can heed the call and be and behave as Christians. But more on that will come later. Because when God calls, he also provides. Letter B, then God provided. Again in Joshua 1, now verses 3 through 6 says this. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Wow, the victories were already won. They hadn't even gone in yet, but God assured him that he had won. God had provided because God had promised. Romans 8:37 confirms that. He reminds us, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God loves us. Jesus loves us. We are more than conquerors. And 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. We've already won, people. And we need to reflect that and understand that and live like that, just as Joshua did. Even through all the trials and tribulations, the struggles of a special needs daughter, losing a beloved father-in-law, a senior pastor, the church moved several times and fire burned a couple of our churches. In building a new church, any of these things, we've heard from experts, any of those things is enough. They say you can expect to lose 20 to 50% of your congregation on any one of those. We went through a half dozen of them. Just amazing challenges. Guess how many we lost? Zero. God has provided. There were a couple that came to me and said, you know, Pastor Tom is really special to me. I think I'm probably going to go somewhere else. I say, understand, you know, we'll miss you, too bad. But praise God, those that said that are still here today. You know, the pastor, Josh, I guess, won them over, or, you know, God moved on their heart to stay. God has provided for that. So, not only has he provided, he's allowed our pastor and the church to survive and prosper. Wow, God's provision. That's all I can say is, wow, he is so good. God also helps us through instruction. And that is letter A. Then Jesus instructed. Or I guess C, sorry. No? Is it C? Yeah, Jesus instructed. This morning I want you to notice that when we get instruction, but we also get rewards if we follow his instruction. Oh, I guess it is letter A. I'm sorry. In Joshua 1, 7 through 9. What is C? Hi, Mommy. You know, word documents are tough. C, instructed. Joshua 1, now verses 7 through 9, says this. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded me. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, and then the reward, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. In other words, obey the law, do what I've told you, be strong, be courageous, you mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. The reward, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The reward, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wow. Then the New Testament, and then in your bulletin, 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 through 17. But evil men and their seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Kind of sounds like our political ad season, doesn't it? Getting worse and worse, it seems like. But the next verse, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So stopping there, by all means, I'd say this morning, we should go out and vote. But as we just prayed last night, even when we were praying for all of you and for the service and for the election to coming up, that no matter the outcome, we can remember who is in control. Amen. Amen. God raises up rulers and he lowers down rulers. Yeah, we can do our part, but God is going to do what God is going to do. Praise God, our faith is in him, not in politicians. And if it is, we need to reverse that this morning and put your faith in the living God, not in our politician. And the word continues, and there in 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. God instructs us. Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God provides, and then he instructs. It's obvious, I think, from Pastor Josh's teaching and insight, that he is constantly and diligently reading and meditating on the Word of God. I think I'm sure that's obvious to almost all of you, just how it's serious, and the time he puts in, effort he puts in to seeking out God's truth. It's a wonderful thing, believing and acting on the instruction book. That's where he gets it from, right there. And he's in it all the time. Enough said? Amen. Amen. So in closing, we have some therefores, and these therefores to follow are therefore our pastor this morning, as well as each one of us. So number three, therefore. Letter A, therefore, have faith. Joshua took God's instruction to heart and believed. Joshua chapters 3 and 4 is like the story of how Joshua encouraged the people to believe and to watch what wonders God would do. So the priest then went out bearing the Ark of the Covenant and stood in the Jordan River. The waters backed up into a big wall. All the Israelites passed over on dry ground. Then they marched on to Jericho and followed some seemingly crazy instruction to march around this walled city 7 times and then to scream. But they had the faith to do that. All of that, which earned the event to be included in what's commonly known as the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament. There in verse 3 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. It was obvious God did that as a response to their faith. And just as God told Joshua numerous times, I tried to count, I hit 20 different times just in the story of Joshua. In various forms and combinations, he told him to be strong, be courageous, fear not, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now that is good instruction. And God reassures us again in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That promise is as good to us today as it was to Joshua back in the Old Testament. Our pastor has shared some of his crises of faith, and his belief and unbelief, and some of his struggles with that and trusting in that. And again, as I say, bearing his soul to us, but that helps us, I think, relate to that. But as we've seen, he has emerged even stronger. He has taken it to heart. He's not perfected yet, but I think he's even stronger than he himself thinks. That's his dad's opinion. If not, I'll tell him to buck up again. But like him, you had to have been here when that happened. Like Josh, like we can all be reassured that God will never leave us. That's a wonderful comfort to us. Yes, have faith, and then letter B, trust. Trust. Just as Joshua had to put actions to his faith, we can step out as we learn to trust him in our faith. Put our feet in the Jordan River. Step in, crossing what seems impossible ground, knowing that he is with us all the way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Then again in 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Wow. We believe, we have faith, we trust and step out because we trust the living God. Like Joshua, and just like our pastor Josh, we all need to put our faith into action via trust. To step out, to continue the work that God has given us to do, even when we don't feel like it. You know, I went to sales school right out of college in the summer of idiocy, selling books door to door, and down in Tennessee. They'd have a sales class once a week. I shared this before Sunday school. And the big thing was act enthusiastic, become enthusiastic. And we'd jump up on our chairs and act enthusiastic. And believe me, after door slammed in your face for a week, it was acting. Amen? But after a while, you kind of got caught up and you became enthusiastic. Well, I use that in the Sunday school. Well, act faithful and you become faithful. And that's true. If you just, okay, act like we have faith, we'll become faithful. And now, act trusting. Act like you trust God, and you will trust God. And go, why does that work? Well, because once we do it, we see that it does work. So it's easier to do, and all of a sudden, we're not acting anymore. We're actually trusting God. because we actually have faith in God and we can believe his word. Someone once said, putting God first is not determined by what we say, but by the decisions and choices we make every day. Say that, read that again. Putting God first is not determined by what we say, but by the decisions and choices we make every day. We need to step out into the Jordan River, put trust and action into our faith. Which brings us to the O word. Letter C, obey. I say the O word. You know, I teach a finance class and I have the B word because everybody hates to hear it. Budget. You don't want a budget. Well, when you're preaching, you have the O word because nobody wants to hear it. Obey. You know, two big words that we have to deal with. Well, letter C, obey. Just as God told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 7, observe to do according to all the law. Turn not from it. Why? So thou mayest prosper. James 1:22 in the New Testament. Then comes, came to my mind, that's in your bulletin, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, there are so many verses on being obedient. I thought of going through them, but I didn't want to keep you here until 1 o'clock like the pastor might. But, got to give him a little grief, amen? But there are so many verses about being obedient. But I love this one I picked out and put in your bulletin because it involves love as well. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And after all, isn't that the great in the first and second commandments? As you recall, what Jesus himself said when asked, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied in Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Then in verse 39, he says, And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Obey God. Just by loving each other, loving the brethren, loving your neighbor. Once we build our faith and learn to trust, it becomes easier to obey. Which in turn, that means we can now bear fruit for God, to bring him glory, which is our reasonable service for what he's done for us. I think our pastor's service has done just that. Amen? Amen. Well, our obedience can do that too. So, amen? Hello? We need to obey and bring God the glory. And finally then, all these things allow us, even encourage us, to endure. To endure. Joshua 14:7 tells us that Joshua was 40 years old when Moses sent him to spy out the land. But remember, they didn't go in right then. It was 45 years later. And as Joshua was dividing up the land to the 12 tribes of Israel, he gave this speech there in your bulletin, Joshua 14:10-11. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and to battle now as I was then. Wow. Some of the 45 years he'd been fighting the man, he's still ready to go do it. The prophet Isaiah even instructs us on how to stay strong, renewing it in the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Then as Paul was reminded by the Lord Jesus himself, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Make the decision today, just as Joshua said his final words as he passed away at 110 years old. Encourage his people until the very end of his life to follow God. One of my very favorite verses in all of Scripture, Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've had that plaque on our door, a wall, ever since I first became a Christian. It's been a dear verse to me. So that goes for my personal house. And if I have anything to say about it, it goes for this house of God as well. We will serve the Lord. So, we see that age is not a reason to retire from God's work. I've seen and I've heard people say that in other churches I've been to. Well, I've done my time, or I'm just burned out. Hogwash. We see that Joshua just went to 110. Moses went to 120. Laura, you've got 15 or 25 more years, lady, so praise God. What a sweetheart. I mean, wouldn't you love to have her around 25 more years? Yeah. Anybody that would say, call me young man and meet it is number one in my book, and that's Laura. Praise God. So just love her. What a birthday. And probably my very favorite hymn in Amazing Grace says this: they did all these things through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Wonderful words to remember. Trials, tribulations, dangers, toils, and snares are not a reason to quit doing God's work. Joshua spent most of his life battling hostile enemies, but he did it in faith, with trust, in obedience, and with endurance. I know many of you have expressed concern to me about our pastor, and we are indeed glad he has taken a bit of a vacation. Amen. I really am. That's the only reason I'm brave enough to try to get up here. But I really do not worry about him leaving the ministry. I really don't. People kind of think, why? Because of these reasons. I know he was called. I know God provides, and I know God instructs. And Josh listens and learns. God will renew Josh's and our strength. God's grace is sufficient. Although I've never understand this side of heaven, why God has allowed Vanny to suffer so much, and Josh and Heather along with her. You know, I've prayed several times, you know, God, just let me take it. Put it on me. I'm old enough, you know. Let's swap bodies, you know. And I don't know why he doesn't answer our prayer. You know, sometimes in the Bible you see the leprosy going from one to the other. I wish that he would. So I don't know why the answers to prayer, and I wouldn't pretend to know why. But I have seen how God has used it to strengthen Joshua's marriage, enrich his preaching, and especially give such a depth to his ministering and pastoring capabilities. You know, always a good speaker, yeah, but now he speaks from a place deep in his heart that I think some of these trials, tribulations have placed him. To be able to respond with compassion to so many of you who suffer probably even worse. You know, that always feels like our own suffering. But to have somebody that can relate to that in a special way has been a gift that actually came through Vanny being as ill as she is. I hate to say, but it's just true that she has really helped that. Our pastor is building his faith and building the ministry of this church. While teaching us, he is learning right alongside of us. All of us learning to trust and to obey. Yes, I am confident that Josh will endure. But even more importantly, we should all strive to endure. Pastor.
All right. To sit in the front row for all that. Well, if every head is bowed and every eye closed, and Noreen, if you're able to come and just play a little, and we'll just have a little invitation here as we close. And sometimes some of you have teased me that I have come and preached a sermon aimed directly at you. I feel your pain. Thank you, Dad. Pastors, preachers need preaching, and I was encouraged by that message. And I hope that all of you, too, can just see past a little bit of how much that's pointed at me and grab some of the things that God has to say for each and every one of us today. At the end of every message, we'd like to take a moment just to invite you to do a little bit of business with God. And so this time is for you right now. We're not going to ask you to raise your hands or come forward or do anything like that. But I think it's important when a message is over to make sure that we've taken a moment and thought about what is it that God wanted to say to us. For me, it's good to be reminded about the way that the Lord has worked in my life and even used the difficult and the hard things. We're going to sing Trust and Obey in a minute. I hear Lorraine's already playing. That's wonderful. I'm glad we're going to sing that here when we're done. That is the secret, to trust the Lord. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. What is it that God wanted to say to you this morning? Is there something you're having difficulty trusting Him with? Now's the opportunity for you to just ask God to make something personal to you. Where is it at in your life? You being asked to serve somewhere? Minister somewhere? Is there something hard that God's asking you to trust Him about? Some bit of instruction maybe that God's given you that you've maybe hesitated to put into practice? I do not feel that I deserve most of the nice things that my dad had to say about me. I appreciate it. But I will say that I have learned that the only person who can really be 100% trusted is Jesus Christ. I mean, I trust my dad, and I trust a lot of you, and I want you to be able to trust me as your pastor. I want to do a good job. But people will disappoint you. Even if they don't want to, sometimes no matter how hard I try or how hard my dad tries or anything, sometimes they just there's nothing that can be done. But it's not true with Jesus. Oh, you can trust Him. We don't always understand, but we can trust. What's God speaking to you about this morning? Would you do a little business with Him? I'm going to quit talking in just a moment and give you just a few minutes of silence before we sing. For you to do that business with God, say, God, what is it that you wanted me to do? What is it that you wanted to say to me? Give God that opportunity just to speak to you right now, if you would. And then we'll pray.